Praise the Lord. It's good to just have songs just pop out, isn't it? You like that? It's fun.
Yes, I do.
It's fun. You should just have songs pop out. Amen. Even if you're 15. Just songs to Jesus. Amen. They kind of remember guys like Joseph and Daniel. I mean, these guys just walked with God. They were just David, you know, out there in the sheep pen with a bunch of with a bunch of sheep, and here comes a wolf, or here comes a lion, and you just kill the lion, you kill the wolf, you kill the bear, you know, and God's with you. Amen?
Yeah.
You know, you just, I mean, trouble starts when you're about 15. Sorry, Judah. Yeah, trouble starts when you're about 50, and you got to have a big God about that time, you know. So, trouble starts when you're 12, when you figure out you're not God, and you figure out things aren't quite going to work out the way you planned, you know. Yeah, because you thought you had some freedom, some liberty, and all of a sudden the world kind of beats up on your liberty, doesn't it? I mean, when you thought you were going to be free and be grown up, and, you know, I thought that, you know, once I get grown up and free, mom and dad, you know, and we all thought that, you know. Then we got a rude awakening, which was natural law, God's law, and just the traffic code. You know, that'll beat you up. You know, because you just can't do the things you want to do because you're wicked and sinful. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You figure that out, you know, and things go a little smoother, you know, when you kind of say, okay, when you kind of draw within the lines or stay within the lines on the road, things go a little smoother than if you cross over the median. Amen. So God's put these things in there to keep you from dying. Amen. God's law is not to keep you from having fun. God's law is to keep you from dying. Except for the one he said about, you know, be perfect. And that one you can't do. Amen? That's the one you can't do. That's the one you can't do. But he said, but he still left it there because that's what leads to life. Is be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's the one that keeps you alive. Amen? For eternity. That law keeps you alive for eternity. But all of a sudden, there was only one problem with that law. You. Me. Flesh. There's only one problem with that law. It could not be done. It was a. I don't want to call it an oxymoron, but I guess because it involves me, I'll call it an oxymoron. Is because it doesn't work. It was God's perfect law, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And it's not that he didn't know it, but he just decided to leave it for a while and say, so you would find out it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I think I'll do everything you said. You know, when the law came off the mountain, he said, everything you said, we'll do. Well, how'd that work out for you? I mean, no, immediately they're just messing up. Just, you know, you wake up the next morning and you're, you know, sinning. And you're just sinning. Amen. It just comes upon you like white on rice. You know, sin is just, it seems to be as part of you. But you have this word. That's what we're going to talk about today. And that's when you commit because of the word. Your commitment, you know, if you ever read the eight parts of daily prayer that we put out, Pastor Jim put out, and the last part of that is commitment. Well, commitment's not based on you. Commitment is based upon God and his promise, isn't it? It's faith. Commitment for you to do anything is about faith. Janet and I were talking about this morning. Is the commitment that you do anything is faith. And it's a gift. Amen? So that's the truth. That's what it is. Any commitment that you say, hey, amen, I will do it, you better just forget that you even said that and just worship God. Yeah, because that's your heart and that's your joy is to do it. But then you find out, you know, Paul, like Paul over in Romans 7, I find that, let's read it. I like to read it because it's fun to read. Because it just speaks directly to what happens. Let's see here. Over here in Romans chapter 7. I'm going to say verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, and that we should bring forth fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the motion of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. In other words, everything that we did was against the law. Everything the law said, we did it or didn't do it. I mean, it's amazing how he made a law that just nailed us. Isn't that funny? It wasn't like, well, here's something that never got done. Here's something I never did. Well, glad I never did that one. No, every single one of them you did. So it's kind of like the law was made specifically for you to point out something. But now, verse 6, are we delivered from the law? Well, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. No. I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Listen now. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of, that word means sin, concupiscence. All manner of sin. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the law commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the command holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin that it might appear is, sin that it might appear sin or sinful, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. There's that distinction. The law is spiritual, I'm carnal. How can I do a law if the law is spiritual and I'm carnal? It's like two different universes. Is that right? It's like two different universes colliding. God is spirit. Those that worship him must worship him how?
In spirit.
I'm not reading now. I'm just quoting another scripture. God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. But just said here, you were carnal. I was carnal. All right? For we know that the law is spiritual. Verse 14. This is Romans 7, 14. But I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do not allow, excuse me. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. It's interesting how he makes a distinguishing between you and your flesh, isn't it?
Yeah.
For I know that in me, that is in my, what? Flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will, my wanter is okay, to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. I know it's hard to read the King James sometimes. Now if I do that I would not, that I don't want to do, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. He really takes a lot of time to hash through this, doesn't he? And nobody reads chapter 7. You know, it's not a high preaching chapter. You know, we always read chapter 8 or chapter 6 or chapter 4. Because nobody wants to think Paul did sins, I guess. But here he's confessing that, hey, I got sins just like the rest of you. So, verse 21, I read it again. I find then, I see this now, that when I would do good, evil is right there. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Amen. That's what we're going to look at in Psalm 119, verse 105 and 106 today. Okay? But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members, my flesh. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This is just, your body just does not work. It's a hindrance. How many know this flesh is a hindrance? You keep running over it. It's like you have to keep patching it. And, you know, it's like a tire with six patches on it. It just keeps going flat. What are you going to do?
Jesus.
Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?
Yes.
Well, that's him, Jesus. I thank my God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Amen. Then it goes on to set you free, because there's no condemnation of those of us in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. You're walking not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So, your flesh is a problem, but it's not a problem. Because God's already dealt with the problem. He has for 2,000 years. He's kind of left you here with it. But it's okay. He's not bothered by that, and you shouldn't be either. Amen? How many know Paul was not bothered by his flesh? He just observed it.
He was
aware of it, and he observed it, but he wasn't bothered by it because of Romans 8:1. There's no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I don't walk according to the flesh. Now, if I believed I was walking and having all of my effort was based on my ability to do it, that is walking in the flesh, then I'd be disappointed and I'd be irritated and I'd be mad and I'd be upset and I'd be bothered. But y'all aren't, because y'all, Janet pointed out, we teach this all the time. I think it's good to look at it. I think it's good to enjoy looking at it. Wow, look at that. It's like having a whole thing of awards that God gave you for everything He did for you. Amen? It's like, look at all those awards. And I didn't do anything. I didn't have to do anything. God just loved me. You know, a lot of folks say, it's better if you did it. Well, in this case, it's no good if you did it. Because it doesn't bear any fruit. It's just dead. And you have to be happy with that. Be happy with the fact, again, good works get done, but you had to just give the credit to Jesus. You just give the credit to Jesus. Amen? See, what happened in the world is people decided that they would do good. People decided that they would please God. And that is a whole misconception of how God wants to work in and through and with you. That's a whole misconception. Well, God wants good works.
Completely.
No, He just wants to love you. He just wants you to enjoy having a relationship with you. God doesn't enjoy having good works that you do so He can, you know, kind of point out, you know, the fact that you did good works or something. He wants to walk in you, through you, and just have a relationship with you. Some people say, well, that would be boring, wouldn't it? Not if you knew God. It wouldn't be boring if you knew God, but if you thought God was after works and works and effort, then you would be disappointed. So it's a whole contrary paradigm shift. Amen? It's a whole paradigm shift, and it's all based on having a real relationship with Jesus. The fact that He loves you and that He just lives in you and daily He walks in and with and through you. And that's a whole different mindset than, you know, we're going to serve God, hallelujah, and then we'll go home one day with a bunch of rewards because we did good. And that's not a mental thing that people really think through, but it's an emotional thing that we buy into. Amen? That you know, well, I this is what God really wants, and I'm into that. Is that no? No, let's just... And it's not a syrupy love relationship, okay? Then we kind of get off on that way. You know, some big syrupy, oh, yeah, just, you know. And people just end up doing that. You know, they just end up in some syrupy, worshipy thing and call that being in love with Jesus. No, that's not it either. It's walking with Him in a daily fellowship. Amen? It's like, what? A marriage. It's like walking in a marriage. It's walking in a love relationship that every circumstance and everything that comes up, I have fellowship with my Father, and He loves me, and He walks with me, and we walk through it together.
Yeah.
And we're living in eternity, even though we're living in this world. And I'm happy all the time. Now, am I happy all the time? Probably not in my emotions or something. But I know that I am happy foundationally. There is nothing that can by any means move me. Amen? I'm not moved. I'm just rejoicing and peaceful and happy and rest. And no matter what takes place. And here comes the enemy. He's going to come in with something. You know what? He can't move me. Unless you think he can. Don't ever say, well, just as long as this doesn't happen. No, doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter. Come what may, I'm walking in rest, peace, happiness, and joy. Amen? Because I know the end is living with Jesus out of this body. But in the meantime, I'm going to walk with Him. I'm going to be happy with Him. Have I seen the worst of the worst? I've seen worse of what I've seen. Y'all have seen it too. Y'all have seen some. Y'all have seen some tough stuff. You know, I have in your life. Have we? Some folks are seeing worse than that. You know, persecutions happen all over the world. I mean, it's tough to have relatives that are in trouble, you know. Grandchildren that are in trouble. That's tough. Children that are in trouble. It's another thing to be somewhere and having your fingernails pulled off. Or your head cut off with a blunt sword. There's a lot of stuff going on. Might be tougher than what I went through. Mm-hmm. Amen? No matter what, even if that were to happen, the worst they can do to you is kill your body.
Yeah.
Amen? Where are you going? Where are you going to go? You could be with Jesus. Amen? That's the worst they can do. You know everybody dies. Anybody know that, right? There's, you know, I've had three parents die in a year and a half. Seems like 3 months. Two of them died in 1 month. Two of them died in 2 weeks. But I know where they are in my case.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're with Jesus. They're in heaven. You know, and so I'm grateful and thankful for that. And how many know, like I said, everybody, did you know that nobody lives pretty much past, 120? Right? Amen. I mean, you just eventually go. And some go early for unfortunate and horrific sometimes circumstances, but we all go.
Yeah.
And we're all going to enter into the presence of the Lord. So I'm ready. I want you to be ready. And I know a lot of folks are ready, but they're just working really, really hard. I think God could use you more effectively if you were happy. If you were convinced that God's on your side. If you're convinced that though you sin, that's not the goal. But you just receive the forgiveness of God right away. You don't guilt up. You know, you don't load up on guilt. You load up on grace. Amen? Let's load up on grace. I mean, as he says that, you know, shall we sin the more so grace will abound? God forbid. No, you don't sin more. It's just there because of sin. Sin happens. But let grace abound in your hearts. Amen? Let grace abound in your hearts.
You know, it's so difficult to get out of the mindset that the purpose of Christianity is not to sin. So you spend your day, if you're cognizant at all about your Christianity, trying not to sin. That is the typical.
Mm-hmm.
And that is taught pretty much throughout Christendom.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is just not to sin.
Yeah.
Well, that's impossible to live that way with any sort of happiness.
Amen.
Because even the older you get, I mean, it just continues to come around you. If I'm not doing outward sins, I am pretty much walking in unbelief and attempting to do things on my own strength.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm still sinning.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about it, it's just a circular thing that you never get off of that merry-go-round, which, again, to teach what you teach every week is absolutely crucial, because within 24 hours, you'll be back. If you don't get this consistently, all you're trying to do is not to sin.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so you're not effective. You're not loving yourself as God says, love yourself and your neighbor as yourself. You can't love yourself because you're in a mess.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't love others. You're just, you're totally blocked.
Amen.
So as you're going through seven here, I'm picking up on a couple of I's that revert right back to Galatians 2:20. Mm-hmm. It is no longer I mm-hmm. who live.
Amen.
That old I is a lot of what he's talking mm-hmm. about here. And mm-hmm. once in a while, he refers to the I that is his that is really him, the Jesus I.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it all hangs together
mm-hmm. yeah.
perfectly.
Amen.
But it just hit me that that's the vast majority of believers out there, unfortunately. I mean, assuming they're believers, I'm just living not to sin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's... Are you focusing on a relationship? Not really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're focusing on keeping the law.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Jesus already did that.
And
Amen. Jesus already did that. It's like I've talked about before, it's like a little, like you're flowing down a stream, and then you see a little stick or something that gets caught up in a little whirlpool off to the side of the stream, and it's just spinning over there in the corner. Well, that's a lot of Christians. It's most of them. It's got just spinning over there, not flowing down the stream, not flowing in the mainstream of what God's doing, because they're caught up in something. They're examining their navel, They're caught up in examining themselves. When God said, and I mentioned earlier, how guilt actually, and the idea that I'm going to come at this again. Well, you keep coming at it and you keep failing because you're not letting Jesus do it. You're doing it yourself. Amen. And again, I know, I realize most of y'all been here 20 years, so you understand that. But just so much of what we teach is to give you ammunition, as it were.
Up here is one thing.
To come here. Yes, it is.
It is not the only
mm-hmm.
thing.
Yeah.
Out there,
mm-hmm.
what's up here begins not to work unless it's shifted from here to here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That shift is a miracle.
From head to heart.
Mm-hmm. That shift is otherwise, the head
mm-hmm.
keeps you wanting to live. I mean, once you're out of this little sermon area here, it wants to keep you in line and not sinning.
Mm-hmm. The devil's good at it, isn't he?
He's gifted at it.
He's
got to hear it over and over and over again.
He's got a great little church going. Amen. Yes, he does. And again, as you mentioned, and in 7, we hear the I. I see this sin, and this sin gets a hold of me. And isn't that the testimony of so many people? I'd do more for God if this sin didn't have a hold of me. Or I'd do more for God if I, But the problem is that you'll notice that it just sucks you in. Because who are you looking at?
Me.
Me. I'm looking at me and what I didn't do. Well, Jesus took it totally out of that context, didn't he? He took doing the law totally out of the context of you doing it, and he put it on Jesus, and he gave it to you, and said, "Just believe this, and you're good."
Yeah.
And we said, "Okay, and what else can I do?"
Yeah.
Okay, so what do I do now? Just go tell somebody else about Jesus. Don't behave. Go tell somebody else about Jesus. That's the gospel. The gospel is go tell somebody about Jesus, not. Do the law. Do the right thing. He says, by your fruits, but the fruits are not things that you, the deeds that you perform. Fruits are what come out of a relationship with the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fruits are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness. All of these things, they're fruit of the
Spirit.
Of me. No, they're not fruit of the well-taught Christian. They're fruit of the Spirit, right? And who's the Spirit? The Spirit is God Himself living on the inside of you.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. We always start on things that we have no idea we're going to start with. Let's look over at Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. David said, your word is a lamp and a light. You know, we've heard that for years, and then, but we didn't know it was in this one, in this psalm that says, that talks every verse about exalting the word of God, right? Remember in the scripture he says, he's exalted his word above his name. He's exalted his word above his name. Well, how'd you learn about his name? His word. The word gives illumination to his name. Amen? His word gives illumination to his name. Over in Psalm 119, verse 130, we'll get to that eventually one day. It says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. The entrance of thy word giveth light. You can look over at John chapter 1, of course. In the beginning was the Word. Your Word is a lamp. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him who? The Word. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness comprehended it not. The darkness just didn't get it, didn't even know what it was. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. There's the light. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. There's nobody outside of God's grace. Nobody. Nobody. That was the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Even to them who, what? Believe on his name. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was that light, and the light was the life of men. So your word, Psalm 119 and 105, is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. His word is his covenant with us, isn't it? His word is his covenant. And if you look here, the next verses can be a little disconcerting because it got you swearing. He says, I have sworn, here's David after that first glorious verse, I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I want to look over at Deuteronomy chapter 29. Can you go over there? Deuteronomy chapter 29. Look at verse 9. Now, before you do that, I'm going to read that again. It says, I have sworn and I will keep, and I will perform it, that I will keep your righteous judgments. Okay, now, Deuteronomy 29, verse 9 says, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all you do. What's the purpose of the covenant? That you may prosper in all you do. You stand this day, all of you, this is verse 10, before the Lord your God, your captains and of your tribes, your elders and your officers and all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood unto the drawer of thy water, that thou shouldst enter into the covenant with the Lord thy God and his oath, into his oath. Well, he's the one that swore. Which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day. That he may establish thee today for a people unto himself. And that he may be unto thee a God, as he has said unto thee. And as he has sworn, he swore, unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Neither with you only do I make this covenant. This is God talking. Not only with you do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. So, who's the one who swore the oath? Who's the one whom we enter into covenant with? And who's making the covenant with us? So look back over here at Psalm 119, verse 106. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep your righteous judgments. And that word perform also means to be fixed. You're setting yourself. You're fixed. Nothing will separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. That's your testimony. Amen. So your testimony is you're agreeing with his oath. Your word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn I will perform it, that I will keep your righteous judgments. I agree with your covenant. Amen? I'm going to read something out of... see if I can find it. Out of Spurgeon's commentary. Experience shows that the less of covenanting and swearing men formally enter into, the better. And the genius of our Savior's teaching is against all supererogatory.
Good word.
That's a great word. It means all good but not required. So the genius of our Savior's teaching is against all good but not required pledging and swearing. Yet under the gospel, we ought to, here's what he says, ought to feel ourselves as much bound to obey the word of God, the word of the Lord, as if we had taken an oath to do so. The bonds of love are not less sacred than the fetters of law. In other words, the love of God, what? Constrains me. Scripture said, the love of God constrains me. I'm not constrained by a law. I'm not motivated by the law, but I'm motivated by what? Love. By the love of God. When a man has vowed, he must be careful to perform it. And when a man has not vowed in so many words to keep the Lord's judgments, yet he is equally bound to do so by obligations which exist apart from any promise on our part. So when he's moved in, the obligation to perform is in me, because I'm moved by his Spirit. So God moves his own promise to perform into my spirit. I hear the Spirit. How do I obey? By the Spirit. He, I'll say that again. Yet he is equally bound to do so by obligations which exist apart from any promise on our part. Obligations founded in the eternal fitness of things and confirmed by the abounding goodness of the Lord our God. Will not every believer own that he is under bonds to the redeeming Lord to follow his example and keep his words? Yes, the vows of the Lord are upon us, especially upon such as have made a profession of discipleship, have been baptized into the Trinity, the thrice holy name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, have eaten of the consecrated memorials, have spoken in the name of the Lord Jesus. We are enlisted and sworn in, and we are bound to be loyal soldiers all through the war. Thus having taken the word, listen, into our hearts by a firm resolve to obey it, we have a lamp within our souls as well as in the book, and our course will be light unto the end. That's Spurgeon's kind. I never read Spurgeon's commentaries, really. You know, I've mentioned Matthew Henry before. Spurgeon was born in the 17th century, lived into the 18th century, and more or less actually a Calvinist or a Puritan doctrine. But I look for seeds. I don't look at people's large theological connections as much as I look for seeds of what the Holy Spirit has revealed to you. Because anybody can't claim any kind of theological foundation, but how many know the Holy Spirit can speak to you?
Amen.
And show you things that you did not know. Amen? So don't write off anybody. Well, I don't listen to so-and-so. Well, you know what? He might bless you today. You know?
Right.
He might bless you today. Why don't you just be open. And what I'm saying by that is, let the Spirit judge the spirits. Amen? Judge every spirit. First John says, judge every spirit. In other words, connect that. Find out whether that's of God. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Word of God. And it'll set you free. Now, what he's saying here is that the Spirit, and we see this in the Scripture, is that the Spirit on the inside of you causes you to walk in consecration and commitment to the will of God. Amen? So if the Word is a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your feet, and a lamp unto your path, then when he says, I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep, and remember our word keep has to do with observing and guarding and holding valuable as treasure these promises and this covenant, this Word of God. I have sworn and will perform it, that I will keep your righteous judgments, because your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen? Bottom line is, here's your word. I agree with it and I trust it. And I've given myself over to it. Amen? I've given myself over to your word.
Amen.
I've given myself over to it. It's in charge. The Word of God is in charge. And so, from the heart, not from the flesh, not from a man's commitment, but for the transformed heart, I have sworn and I will perform. I'm declaring I will perform it. And I will keep your righteous judgments. Because your word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my feet. I always mix those up. Lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that at the end of that reading in Deuteronomy, he says, it's not only for those of us here, but it's for those who are not here. Well, you remember what the apostles said, Peter said about the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:39. He says, this promise is not only for you and for those here, but is also for those who are afar off. For as many as the Lord our God shall call. So the covenant that he was talking about in Deuteronomy chapter 29 is the same covenant that we're talking about today. The same covenant we enjoy today, which is God's promise, God's word through Jesus Christ. coming to dwell on the inside of us. Amen? And the thing about Deuteronomy 28, where he's talking about all the blessings, and then actually ultimately the end of 29 says, you know, now if you neglect all these things that the Lord your God has said, there's all the curses, you know. But the prior chapter, Deuteronomy 28, talked about if you keep all these things, keep all these promises, here's all the blessings. And the blessings far outweigh the curses, to be honest with you. But it's not because you do the Word of God. It's because you've agreed to His covenant. Just come on in. What did He say to Abraham? He said, you believe me, I'll give you everything else. You believe me. That's the simplicity of Abraham's of the covenant God made with Abraham. You believe me, I'll give you everything else. Amen? Romans 8:32 says, how shall not he that delivered up his own son for us all, how much more shall he's going to give us all things?
Amen.
Amen? How much more is he going to give us all things? I mean, he give you Jesus, you get everything else. Amen. All right, look here. Verse 107. Okay. I am afflicted very much. Well, we've heard about that before, haven't we? Back in verses 67, 71, 75. It's good for me that I was afflicted, for that now I've believed your word. Here, he says, I am afflicted very much, and immediately quicken me, O Lord, according to your word, according to your covenant. Quicken me. Make me alive. I'm afflicted very much. Let me quicken me according. Yeah, bring me back to the promise. Bring me back to the promise. Make me alive. Quicken means to make alive. Make me alive. So, quicken me according to your word. Verse 108. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, and teach me thy judgments. So accept the freewill offerings of my mouth. Lord, I'm just going to give you glory and praise and thanksgiving. I just trust you with all that I have. And I'm going to speak it and declare it. I'm going to speak the eternal word of God. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth. Teach me thy judgments. As we worship him, he is teaching us. He is continually teaching me. Amen? Because as I give worship and thanksgiving and praise to him, he's responding. He's responding. See, you come into his presence with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. He's going to respond to you. He's going to respond. Now, he may not give you, okay, yeah, go do that. Go do this, go do that. You know, we're always looking for an answer. We're always looking for an answer to a problem. God is, how many know God's not an answer to a problem? You know, he's not the anybody remember the eight ball? You're asking a question and you turn it upside down, and it has a little window in the bottom, and it's got a whole kind, it's a fortune telling thing, basically. It's a toy. But it's got all kinds of little pithy sayings that will answer your query. That would, you know, it's got a little multi-sided thing. It's, you know, one of those octagon, but it's like more than an octagon. What is it? It's got, you know, about 10 or 12 sides to it. And so, and it floats up because it's filled with liquid. And it floats up and it shows one side or another through that window. It's like a fortune cookie. It's like a fortune cookie, and it'll come up and show that. That's not how God works. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, if you need something, you'll hear it. If you'll need something and he's ready to respond to you in that way, you'll hear him. But what you trust is that he'll never let you fall. Accept the freewill offerings of my mouth and teach me thy judgments. I'm going to be taught. I begin to be taught so that I know in any circumstance what to do. You don't need an eight ball to say, well, this is, you know, here's, things won't always go that way. Or have a, you know, it's like a horoscope, this thing. And so we want to treat God like a horoscope. We want to answer from a psychic on what to do. But no, what he wants to do is come and dwell on the inside of you, and you're led. Remember what he said about that first verse? Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So his word dwelling on the inside of you, Romans 12, verse 2, is that your mind has been renewed and that you just guided. He guides you with his eye, the scripture says. He's guiding you with his eye. I'm happy that he guides me with his eye. His eye is on the inside of me, and he's guiding me with his eye. Amen? Accept the free will offerings of my mouth. See, so I'm always continually giving praise and thanking him, and he's constantly engaging with me and teaching me. Amen? I'm happy because I know that God forever is teaching me and engaging with me. Do I always hear it? No. Well, you must hear him all the time. No, not exactly. But I have all confidence because of history and because of his spirit. His spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. If I don't hear him, it's not because he's not there, and it's not because I'm not born again. He's working. You know the last verse of Deuteronomy 29, 29 is 20, verse 29. And he goes immediately from all of those, at the end of that chapter, goes, well, if you hadn't done it, then you're all cursed. You know, he says, the secret thing belongs to the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children. It's like, boy, he took a hard turn there. He said, the secret thing belongs to the Lord, but the revealed thing belongs to us and to our children. There are things you don't know. But don't, he's saying, don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. Listen, give the offerings to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. Let him decide how he's going to answer you. If not, just here's the answer. Walk in love. Well, what does that mean? I could think of 15 ways that I wouldn't know what that meant. And then the Holy Spirit's going to lead you. He will guide you. Find a brother or sister to confide in. Let them give you wisdom. There's multitude in there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. Amen? So you have options and you have ways to bring yourself to a position of knowing exactly what to do in that circumstance. And what happens if I mess up? What happens if you mess up? I think God's got you covered, even if you mess up. You know, you're going to mess up. Amen. It's not making provision for the flesh to mess up, because you didn't think you was going to mess up, but you did, and you had recognition that those things will occur. But God is merciful, and His grace is for you. Amen? So he says, and this it takes time. It takes time to walk with the Lord. It just takes time. Amen? But keep walking. Keep worshiping. Keep thanking God. Let us encourage you. Don't get dismayed. Be not dismayed. I want to read that. All these verses that are so simple that we read, but I mean, there's a reason that God says it the way he says it. I'm going to read Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. When you meditate therein, that's when you do. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt make thy way have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. Well, see, he's picking up on a couple of the things that might lead you to or he's identifying a couple of things that might have been hindering your walk. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Anybody ever been afraid? Anybody ever been dismayed? Oh, man. No. You ever done that? Oh. For the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. Amen. Love that.
Amen.
He kind of picked up the stragglers on that, didn't he?
Yeah.
You know? Be strong and of a good courage. Yes, that's me. But then he said, be not afraid. Oops. Pick up the stragglers. How many of us need to pick up the stragglers? Because once you were a straggler. Amen? Aren't you, you know, be not afraid. Don't get, no, what does that mean? That means don't get angry or irritated or disappointed at people who are struggling through hearing the Lord. Love them. How many of you know you got Jesus Christ living on the inside of you? You are the Holy Ghost to a majority of people. Doesn't mean you're the Holy Ghost. What it means is the Holy Ghost is living on the inside of you. And they don't need you to beat them up. They need you to love them to beat them up in a nice way. They need you to encourage them, to bring them along. Not just beat them up. Amen? Amen. So teach me thy judgments. Teach them to me, Lord. As I worship Him, because I'm setting myself in His presence. Accept the free will offerings of my mouth. Teach me thy judgments. 109 says, my soul is continually in my hand. That's interesting. My soul is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget thy law. So my soul continually in my hand. In other words, I'm always having the opportunity to feel like Romans 7. Remember we talked about that? Well, it didn't work out. You know, the thing I wanted to do, I didn't do. You know, so where is your soul when that happens? When you actually messed up? Is to receive the grace, receive grace, receive mercy. Say, when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, that if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin. So your soul can either stay in guilt and condemnation, or your soul can get relieved and walk in the peace of God. Amen? But you get to decide that. You can decide to be irritated and angry and upset and sad and guilty and run over, or you choose to rejoice and love God and rejoice in the power of the living God that's delivered you from the power of all sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Romans 6:11 says, reckon yourselves therefore. Here's your reckoner. That's your soul. You can determine to reckon or to make a judgment. Yeah, is that that's the day of reckoning, you know, the day of judgment. You know, you can make a day of judgment, and it can come sooner than later. You know, you want a speedy trial. Amen? You don't want a trial where you get thrown in the dungeon for 6 years, right? You want a trial today. Lord, can I have a trial today? I'd like a trial today. Let's go into the courtroom. Let's have the judge. And he says, forgiven. And you went, oh, glory to God. So, read that. He said, my soul is continued in my hand, yet I do not forget thy law. I don't forget thy law. That's how it set me free. Now look, and I'm going to read a couple of scriptures to base that. Okay? Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. My soul is continually in my hand. David said. Okay, Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Philippians 4, I just wrote a... You know it. 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of lovely, are lovely, and whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Psalm 23:7, or Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And then Romans 12:2, as we mentioned before, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that is, he said, when he says, my heart, my soul is continually in my hand. Again, to Psalm or Romans chapter 7. You know, you're looking at what you did do and what you didn't do and wanted to do and you couldn't do. But you look, you know, the law of my mind is what God did, isn't it? So, when he says, my soul is continually in my hand, you can believe the truth or you can believe a lie, can't you? I do not forget thy law. Verse 1:10 says, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from your precepts. I did not turn from your precepts. It meant I didn't turn from the trap or the snare. It means I didn't turn from your precepts. I didn't change my story just because there was trouble in front. Amen? I didn't change my testimony that God is good all the time because I was in trouble. I affirm my testimony when the enemy comes in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord raises up his flag of victory, raising up a standard against him. In other words, when God raises his flag, it's over. You know, when you raise the flag on Iwo Jima, you know, you took the island, right? You took the, that's a declaration that, well, you know, we've taken this piece of property. See, when the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against the enemy, he's taken that land. Hallelujah. He's taken that land. So glory to God. I'm already there. Amen. I'm already there. So my testimonies, So they're finishing up verse 1:10. It says, so the wicked laid a snare for you, but, you know, you're not moved. Amen? But you're not moved. You're not, it doesn't overtake me. It doesn't overwhelm me. Yeah, I expect it. You know, Jesus said to Peter, the enemy, Satan, has desired to have you, to sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. Amen? Satan has desired to have you? To sift you as wheat. To grind you up and make a little cake out of you. And eat you up. But Jesus said, I've prayed for you. He's constantly interceding for me. Again, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him. Amen? I'm already delivered. I am delivered. Hallelujah. Yep. Because your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I have sworn, and I will perform it, and I will keep thy righteous judgment. That's your testimony about yourself, about your life. It's not something you're going to do. It's something he did. But you're watching the finished product of his covenant. Amen? It's the finished product of his covenant. Are you in? Yeah, I'm in. Okay, good. Then you're at the land. Amen. All right, verse 111. Your testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. So his testimonies are my heritage. His testimonies are my history. All the testimonies of the Word of God, all the testimonies of the victory of the kingdom of heaven from the days of Noah to the days of Abraham, to the days of Moses, to the days of David, to the days of, to the days of Gideon. All of these testimonies are mine. They're not just theirs, they're mine. This is my heritage. The whole Bible is my testimony. Amen? So your testimonies have I taken as a heritage for me. I'm taking them. That's mine. That's my testimony. Yeah. Yeah. David slinging the rock, hidden. Don't we do that, right? David taking the rock. He got picked up five. Unbelief. Or he thought the guy had five brothers, one or the other. And he slings one. Boom. Got the guy. Went and cut the head off the giant. That's me. Amen. That's me. Your testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Everybody remember Jeremiah 15:16, right? I say that kind of stuff. You've got your own verse that you would say that about, and you'd testify of it, and you'd speak it and declare it. And he says, thy words were found. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And they were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Jeremiah 15:16. Oh, man. I love that. That just encouraged me no end. It still encourages me. I'm going to read it again. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. I want to write a song about this. And they were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. I'm sure there's a song out there somewhere. So those testimonies and the testimonies of others. That's together. That creates fellowship, doesn't it? So when we come together like this, he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together in Hebrews 10:26, as is the manner of some. And even the more so, do it more as you see the day approaching. It doesn't have to be a formal meeting. Just have coffee. Hey, glory to God. When he says here in this same psalm, it says, those that love you will be glad when they see me. Well, it just means down at Sons of Liberty at the coffee shop or McDonald's or wherever you go. Well, I never go to McDonald's. Well, good. Go somewhere else. Sit on a park bench. Just invite somebody over to have a blessed time of fellowship together. Amen. Uh-huh. Amen. Drive to a meeting together that takes more than 10 minutes. Raul and I will do that. He'll meet me in Grapevine. We'll drive to Fort Worth. We'll spend a half hour going, a half hour coming, just testifying and talking about the scriptures. And isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? Amen. Praise the Lord. So don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Don't make it just church. Don't make it just church. Just make it all the time. This is your family, amen? This is your family. Praise amen. The Lord. Hallelujah. Just give a phone call. I say call people in the middle of the week. Amen. Hallelujah. Now you can text them or something. You can do all kinds of crazy things.
Yep.
Amen. These little 8 verses right here. Psalm 112, or verse 112, that's the last verse here in this little stanza. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes always, even to the end. I've inclined my heart. I kind of leaned in to perform thy statutes. Lord, I'm just leaning on your breast. just like John did at the Last Supper. I'm just inclining. In that case, they reclined. But I've inclined, I've leaned in. Why? Because His Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, I'm going to lean into here. I'm going to lean into here. John wanted to hear Jesus just right there at the table. He wanted to hear Him. He wanted to hear what Jesus was going to say. Because they knew it was going to be love. Do you know the brothers and sisters who just, they love you no matter what? They love you no matter what. They love no matter what. There's nothing, you could never offend them. Amen? Because they love you. That's the word, that's the power of God. Is to have a brother or sister who you're not afraid to fellowship with because you know that they will never reject you. Now, could they because they're a human person? Yes, could. But to lean in and to know that there are brothers and sisters among you who you can go, number one, they'll never tell what you told them, and that they will pray with you, and they do not judge you. But it's not them, it's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. Amen? I hope we have some of those here. I hope we have some of those folks here who you can go to. Well, it's just a little bitty congregation, you know. Can you find such here? Yes. Yeah. There's people in every place who are, God's got them in every place. You know, not so you can abuse them, you know. I'm adopting you, glory to God. I'm going to call you 10 times a day. No. You got to hear Jesus. You can't just adopt a counselor. But you know that this person or these individuals love you, and just ask them to pray for you. Just ask them to pray for you. Just ask them to come alongside. And because you know and you've seen their love. Amen? Amen. It's powerful. Okay. That's it. Somebody's having a big service. Yeah. Glory to God. So I've inclined my heart to perform Thy statutes always. I'm glad I'm listening from this room. Praise the Lord. I think that'd be awful loud in that room. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So I've inclined my heart to perform Thy statutes always, even to the end. Even to the end. He that endureth to the end will be saved. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. All right.